of the women, and I'm not going to answer all of that because that's part of our Sunday school question this morning. But they began to go to the tomb that morning and began to expect to find a dead Lord. When they got there, they found Him risen and from the dead. And they didn't know what to make of it all. Some of them didn't. And the apostles, when Peter and John showed up at the tomb, they didn't see the angels. They only saw an empty tomb and the grave cloths that were left. And they didn't know what to make of it all. But then I began to tell them about what we'll read this morning. About one of those women's husband was by the name of Cleopas. And we find he and his friend on the road to Emmaus as they were walking. And that they knew not that it was Jesus that drew near unto them and began to speak to them and to talk to them and to tell them about Himself and how that these things were to happen exactly as they had happened that day. And what a blessing it'd be to get to hear from the Lord. And as I was talking to them, they didn't understand, but the Lord touched my heart and said, wouldn't it be good if this morning I'd speak to somebody on an Easter Sunday morning? I mean, what a day for them to walk up and down the street and headed down the road and didn't expect a visit that day from the Savior. But He showed up where they were and broke bread with them and He talked with them. And wouldn't it be good if the Lord would break bread with us this morning and speak to the heart of somebody and speak to us on Easter Sunday morning and remind us that He's alive and alive forevermore and that He's the Savior of all men. I'm so glad of that. And all my preparation and all of our prayer and whatever else for the meetings today, I hadn't considered that until I began to ride into town this morning and talk to my girls about this passage. And I said, yes, Lord, today while we're on our road to church, while we're on our road in our lives, while we're on our day going about our business as these men were, if You'd show up on this Easter Sunday morning and speak to my heart and talk to me and remind me that You're God and besides You there's not another, that You're high and lifted up and that You're alive and well, it'd be such a help to my heart if You'd speak to me on this Easter Sunday morning. And so I'm thankful for that truth. We're reading from the book of Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse number 13 and down through verse number 32 in this passage of Scripture. And I want to read this. I'll read fairly quickly this morning and then share with you some things from this passage of the Word of the Lord and not be. But just a few moments here, and Brother John and these other men, he had a good crew of chefs this morning working. And I don't know if they're chefs or if they're grill techs from the Waffle House, but they've been working and doing a good job, and I appreciate it. And got all the food ready. They had those good hood vents that we've got going up there, and one of them, I forget which one of them was, said, I believe Brother Tom said when he pulled in the parking lot this morning, he could smell sausage cooking. It's all them vents, they suck all that smoke up and blow it outside. He said, I told him, I said, we ought to have everybody in the community here, and there's a little bit with all that sausage smell going outside. Brother John said it might not wake up all the people, but it'd get every dog in the neighborhood coming this way to find that sausage smell. And it's a blessing. I appreciate their good work. From the book of Luke, chapter number 24, verse 13, the Word of the Lord said, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. They talked together and all these things which had happened. Now, notice it just makes all the assumption that you understand what all the things are which have happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near. Matter of fact, some of you help me make a mental note of that phrase. Jesus Himself drew near. And you pay attention to that phrase, and somewhere or another we're going to take a text there. I'm not preaching on that this morning. Brother Thomas, some of these others help remind me of it. Somewhere or another I want to come back and preach some of these days on Jesus Himself drew near. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could say in your life, oh, how Jesus Himself drew near. I mean, I never paid attention to it till just now, but I'm so glad for the time in my life when I can tell testify that Jesus Himself, not another, not just the preacher or the church, but Jesus Himself drew near in my life. Oh, bless His name. And then notice He went with them. That's what happens when a man gets saved, isn't it? Jesus draws near and then He walks with you. But their eyes were holding that they shouldn't know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, that's what we was talking about this morning, girls, answering said unto him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Notice how they speak in past tense. We trusted that he was supposed to redeem Israel. We trusted that he would do these things. But now he's dead. And it's been 3 days since these things are done. Oh, how their hearts were heavy. Yea, he says, and to compound their confusion, certain women also of our company made us astonished, one of them being Cleopas' wife, which were early at this sepulchre, when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels that said which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, of course that was Peter and John, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Oh my, how many have come on church on Easter Sunday? How many have visited Luke chapter 24? How many have heard the preaching of the gospel? How many have looked at my life and yours and they saw him not? Oh, friend, and you see all the rest and you hear all the pretty singing and you eat a good breakfast this morning and dress up in the Easter Sunday best, but if you see him not, it will not have been worthwhile. Oh, how we must see him. I'm reminded of those Greeks that came unto the disciples and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, how our heart's desire should be that we would see Jesus this morning. But they saw him not. Then he said unto them, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went and in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. They saw Jesus, you see, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, now that we've seen Jesus, you see, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? I want to preach if the Lord had me here just for a few minutes this morning, especially and particularly from this passage of scripture in verse number 24, I believe it is, where it is that they said that, or rather in verse 21, where it is that they said, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. That's where why we're here today, friend, on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday morning. Today's the third day since these things were done. Now, if you had met with these men on the second day, it would have been altogether different. If you'd have met with them on the first day, it would have been altogether different, because all you could have done was talk to them about a dead Savior. All you could have done was to mourn with them for their loss. All you could have done would have been to have wept with them for the death and burial of their sweet Lord and the suffering that He faced. But Cleopas thought what he said, today is the third day. This means that 3 days our suffering has been compounded. But he knew not what he said, today is the third day since it's been done. That didn't mean their suffering had been compounded for 3 days. That means their suffering had been lifted. And they were unaware of what it meant, because it was the third day. I was listening yesterday to them preaching about it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Oh my, how the disciples knew not on Friday that Sunday had come. They crucified my Lord, but they didn't know that Sunday was coming. The Jews railed against Him on Friday, but they did not understand that Sunday was coming. They crucified Him, spat in His face, and they said, "If you be God, save yourself. You trusted in the Lord, now let Him bring you down the cross." It was Friday, but they didn't know Sunday was coming. Roman soldiers put a bag over His head and beat Him in the face. And they said, "Look at you now, you're some more a king. Prophesy who smote me." It was Friday, but they didn't understand what would happen when they would say, "And today has been the third day since these saints were dying." Oh, my, my, my. When they buried Him, and here it was, and Mary Magdalene has sat by the tomb, the last one to leave on a Friday, friend. And then she worried and wondered what would become of all that Jesus had built. She was concerned. It was Friday, but Sunday it was coming. And Cleopas finally said here, "And today is the third day since these saved were done." In other words, Sunday had come. Resurrection day had come. My friend, everything had changed. These men didn't understand it, but it changed. These men didn't comprehend it, but it had changed, friend. They're on the road to Emmaus, visited by Jesus. Confused, sad, heavy-hearted, and likely afraid with all the things that had recently transpired. Not only that, this was the third day since all the things were done. 3 days I thought about yesterday was long enough to seem arduous and to long for sorrow and for suffering. But 3 days was short enough for all these things to be very fresh in their minds. It seems the whole city of Jerusalem had been completely occupied with nothing but the death and burial of Christ for these 3 days. But there came walking a man with them who seemed not to be worried at all or bothered over it at all, friend. And notice, first of all, his concealment this morning. His concealment in verses 15 and 16. Jesus drew near unto them. In verse 15, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him." In verse 16, "He drew near, He stood close by, He even talked with them, but they didn't recognize Him." It wasn't that they didn't know Him. These were His disciples, but they didn't recognize Him. He didn't reveal Himself to them. How often are we in a place of difficulty and even unbelief, Brother Matthew, and wonder, where is Jesus? Or will He even show up? And He's right by us, and we don't recognize Him. Oh, if we can just recognize Him through our gloom. Maybe, friend, it's not time for Him to reveal Himself or His purpose or His will. But if you don't
these men had looked for God's purpose in their perplexity for 3 days. That Jesus was about to open their eyes.
His concealment. And then secondly this morning, notice their countenance in verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? It was showing up on them that they were saddened by the events of these 3 days. Jesus knew this. He knew what bothered them. But isn't it just like our Lord to give these men a chance to tell Him about their burdens? He knew what was heavy on their hearts. Yet He didn't say, fellas, now don't say a word. I already know what you're going through. Not at all. But He said, I noticed that you're sad. Why don't you tell me about your troubles? Have you ever had the Lord walk up close by your side and then saying to you, why are you so sad? Why don't you just tell me? You've told others. You've told somebody else. You've told the church, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters. Why don't you sit down for a little while, Brother Tom, and just tell me about your troubles? I'll listen if you'll tell me. I'm interested if you'll talk to me. I want to hear what you have to say. It's not that He doesn't know, but that He's ready to listen. I'm so glad that His ear is open unto our cry, that He's ready to hear us when we pray. Woo-hoo! Oh, President Obama hadn't got time for me. The governor doesn't have time to hear about my troubles, but I can go way over their head, Brother Matthew. Over your issues of life, and you say to yourself, does God
the response to the Savior, and then the reason for their sadness is found in verses 20 through 24. They talked about how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned. We trusted in him that he'd redeem Israel at this time. And they said, yea, and said, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women went down to the tomb and they found it empty. They came back and saw angels. Others of us went down there and they found it even as the women had said, but they saw not the angels, you see. He was crucified and buried, and now they can't even find the body. We don't know what to make of it. Some said there were angels there, some didn't see anything. We don't know what to make of it all. We're confused and we're confounded and we're sad, and that's what's the matter, mister.
But notice his communication this morning. Aren't you glad that the Lord won't hide himself from us forever? Amen. Have you been the one that has sat on the pew through the Sundays and you've heard the preaching and you assented mentally to say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God? How many of you, like myself, raised in church maybe, or raised in a Christian atmosphere, or at least raised to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and all your life you believed that, and you believed the truths much as these men believed it, and you didn't know all your life, you didn't understand all the while. You thought you were walking down life's road by yourself and didn't know that He was there beside you all along. But He was withholding from you and you couldn't see Him or His purpose for your life. Oh my! And at the height of your confusion, at the height of your confoundment, when you thought you couldn't get any more confused, any more mixed up, when life couldn't get any more complicated, just about that time something happens that starts in verse number 25 when it says, then He said. Do you remember, friend, when He said? Do you remember when you didn't know what to make of nothing? You didn't understand anything? It seemed like religion didn't make any sense. Everything you believed just didn't add up. And all at once, that Savior that was hidden under you, that Savior whose voice was a stranger to you, that Lord you heard about but had never heard from, opened His mouth and then He said, I remember when He spoke to me. I'd heard the preacher talk about it. I'd heard the folks testify about it. We'd sung the songs about it. But thank God, by the way, it's verse 25. And on the 25th day of June in 1989, then He said, He spoke to me. He dealt with my heart. He began to tell me about Himself and make alive this message of the gospel. Oh, I bless the Lord. I'm glad He speaks to us in the low times and the lonely times, the confusing times and the crushing times, in hindrances and heaviness. Just His words make things better. When He spoke to them, He told them what the prophets foretold in verse 25. He said, oh, fools and slow of heart, but to believe that all that the prophets have spoken. Don't you understand? I told you in the Old Testament it was going to be this way. He told them what the prophets foretold. He told them what the Christ fulfilled in verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into glory? He did exactly what He was supposed to do. And then in verse 27, He began to tell them what the Scriptures foreshadowed. And at beginning at Moses, that is the first books of the Bible, the first five books, that's what they called Moses. That is the Pentateuch, beginning at Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Beginning there, and all the prophets, that's the rest of the Bible, He expounded unto them the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. Can you imagine hearing Jesus preach through the Old Testament about Himself? I mean, what a message to hear Jesus preach through the Old Testament to tell you about Himself. Now, Brother Matthew, sometimes I try to preach those types and shadows and prophecies of the Old Testament, what they mean concerning Christ. But I'm convinced at times I get them wrong. I mix them up. I don't get the pictures all just right. But can you fathom hearing Jesus preach from the Old Testament about Himself? And He began in Genesis and worked all the way through to Malachi, telling them about Himself. What a blessing! Had to thank God. And when they got home, He acted like He was going to keep on traveling. But He planned to stay with them all along. And they said, "Would you sit down and come into our house?" I mean, as a sinner, do you remember when you felt like that night that He was just going to keep on passing by? He'd come by and test you. The sweet Holy Ghost had dealt with your heart. He drew you near to Himself. And you were convinced that if you didn't do something right now, He was just going to pass by and He may never visit this way again. If I don't do something tonight, He may never come by me again. I mean, I may never see Him again. All the while, He planned on staying with you if you just invite Him in. And finally, you broke down. You said, "Lord, why don't you just come to my house? Why don't you just come in my heart? Why don't you just take up your abode with me?" And He said, "You know what? That's exactly what I'll do. I'll come in. I'll sit down." He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up unto me, I'll come in and I'll sup with him and he with me." And He did. And He sat down with them, friend. And He broke bread. And the Bible said, He opened their eyes when He blessed the bread and He broke it and He gave it to them. But that wasn't the end of it all. They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as He talked with us by the way, and He walked with us, and He opened unto us the Scriptures." And they rose and began to tell others. That is the picture of salvation. After He sets your heart on fire with love for God, you rise up and go tell somebody else about this Jesus that'll change your life. Oh, they realize there's no need to be discouraged or confused. Jesus is alive and He can bring peace and settle you. Saint or sinner alike can bring peace and settle you. 1 Peter 5 and 10, I'm closing with this verse. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while, today is the third day since all these things were done." After you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'm glad He knows how. I'm glad we serve a risen Savior. Amen. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. I praise His sweet name. Let's stand this morning and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I said I wouldn't sweat none this morning. I wouldn't have to worry about bringing another shirt. But I sure have enjoyed preaching this sunrise fair. I'm just going to give you a devotion, but it sure is good to be able to preach when the Holy Ghost is real. Thank God I'm saved. Amen. I bless His name. Are we good on the food over there, brother? Brother John's give us the high sign. Brother Bob's nodding his head in agreement. And so the chefs have put their stamp of approval on it. I preached just the right amount of time. Isn't that right, brother? Just right. Amen. Isn't the acoustics in here something? Did y'all hear us singing a while ago, hear it ringing? Well, the piano, you couldn't hear it quite as good. Let's do this. Let's sing a verse, the first verse of Amazing Grace, and then say the blessing. I want you to hear it. It's high ceiling and all in here. We don't have all them pews and things soaking everything up. It rings. It's beautiful. So let's sing a verse of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. I once was lost. ask God's blessings on the food, please?
Our kind Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we come today with a thankful heart. Thank you, Lord, that you rose on the third day.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you may have filled the Lord. God, we thank you for the message this morning, the message. God, we thank you for receiving that one that's come this morning. God, we pray, Lord, above all, to save the lost. Lord, I pray, pray it, Lord. Unfortunately, I'm unable to be this way this morning. God, we pray that you would bless them, God, in a great way today. God, we pray that you bless each and every one that's enslaved, Father.
Help
God,
them.
God, we pray that way today they've come to know you. God, we pray that you bless the food this morning. We
yes.
pray, Lord, to bless the one that prepared the meal.
Yes, Lord.
Bless each and every one. Bless Brother Toby that you're going to preach our word. Please bless your man.
Amen. Amen. All right, it's ready to go. So, y'all fill up, eat all you want, eat all you can, get all you want, and eat all you get.